Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. The Titans currently on an offensive coordinator search, maybe a defensive coordinator search. We shall see. Joining us to break it all down is Paul Kuharsky of PaulKuharsky.com. PK, appreciate your time today. Enjoyed listening to you and Joe this morning. First, I want to start with the news that you broke about the defensive coordinator position. The Titans are holding on to Shane Bowen for now, but they're still looking at outside candidates for the job. Kind of walk me through that, because I think that's a little bit of an odd dynamic to say, hey, okay, you're good enough for now, but if we find another option, we'll let you know.
Well, I don't think they present it to him necessarily like that. I mean,
that's kind
guys
of my,
are under contract.
My little summary.
Yeah, guys are under contract for another year from Mike Vrabel's staff. So they don't really have the option to go. And they did give him permission to interview. He interviewed with Jacksonville and with the Giants. Jaguars have hired. Giants have not. Though you would think if he was their man in New York, they would have made their move by now. It doesn't look like defensive coordinator opportunities are there for him, though it's still pretty early in the hiring cycle for most of these new coaches. So you don't know what opportunities are going to arise. My sense is he would like to stay. But again, we only know one outside candidate so far in Denard Wilson, who I think was here yesterday, though I'm not positive on the timeline. I certainly would think they would look at more than one outside candidate as a potential new defensive coordinator, as well as talking to Shane Bowen before deciding what direction they want to go there. And again, they've got competition. Denard Wilson has talked to two other teams, the Rams, and I'm forgetting the other one, and he has some background with the Rams. And so it's just kind of a wait and see, really. And then I think if Bowen isn't here, he may have to step back to a linebacker coach job somewhere. But again, like I said, it's a little bit early.
What was your evaluation of the job that Shane Bowen did this past season?
I think Shane's not a bad defensive coordinator. It's a little bit hard to unravel everything that's gone on with the Titans' defense. He's certainly been better. I mean, we talked a lot about this in the last couple of days when I subbed for Robbie. You know, the better the personnel you have, it's remarkable how much better of a coach you become. So the 2 years that the Titans had the best defense that they've had, their defensive front remarkably was rushing the passer exceedingly well, and it had the best personnel it's had playing the best it played. Now, how much of a hand did Shane Bowen have in Jeffrey Simmons being healthy and rushing the passer and being disruptive the most consistently he was, and in Danico Autry being consistent, and Harold Landry being healthy, and in Bud Dupree getting healthy and playing his best towards the end of that season. You know, obviously he called the good plays, and things worked the best when they were doing that. And the year that they had Vic Beasley and Jadeveon Clowney, who didn't make it through full seasons, and Jonathan Joseph was part of the secondary, they stunk. And I don't know that was a lot to do with Shane Bowen, and I do think it was a lot to do with the people that I just mentioned. So I don't think he's one of the best coordinators in the league, but I don't think he's as bad as he looked that year when they had those bad people either. I like Shane a lot personally, but I'm inclined here with a fresh start with the new coach to feel like I'd like to see a predominantly new staff.
Paul, now looking at this staff and you know what he has already put together, which is not much, amongst the staff that is still there, who are the more likely candidates to eventually, you know, you can see staying on this staff? Now, he's moved away, it seems like, from Charles London, which we thought that would be a no-brainer to keep him because of Will Levis and the relationship that they built. But obviously that's not the case. So beside a guy like that, who else do you see the potential for this for Coach Callahan to keep?
It's really hard, D-Mace, to kind of estimate. You know, I mean, I think we all could agree that some of the more intriguing guys were London, who is not going to be back. Terrell Williams, who interviewed for the Chicago defensive coordinator job, as did Chris Harris, didn't get it, so he's still around. Chris Harris came in with a lot of intrigue, didn't have a great deal to work with. At corner, and I think he did a good job with Roger McCreary, who I thought was one of the most improved players on the Titans overall, dedicated to strictly nickelback, except when injuries drew him outside. I thought he got a lot better in his second year. I think those two guys are intriguing keeps. The thing is, you don't know who Callahan knows at certain positions, right? And so you would think that's the reason London is out, is because he knows a lot of quarterback guys and offensive coordinator types that he wants to bring in. So does he know as many defensive line guys, or does the fact that he doesn't make Terrell Williams a more attractive candidate to keep? You know, by no means have I, as I've reported, this handful of guys that I know are gone, and I know Frank Perino, the strength and conditioning coach, survived this initial round of departures. That doesn't mean he's definitely on the new staff. And a lot of these guys are getting conversations with Callahan this week. But it's hard to know what Callahan has available to him, who he knows, who he can get permission to talk to, who got fired from other staffs or are in similar situations to the guys we're talking about, that are hanging loose somewhere else or about to be let go by another staff that he wants. There are just a lot of X factors.
Now, you guys had a conversation this morning, you and Rex, and I thought it was a really good one, honestly. About
you sound really surprised to hear that.
No, I'm not. That. I'm not surprised.
That's very surprising that Paul and Joe can have that kind of level of conversation.
Paul and Joe always seem to go at each other, and then they bring in Stilly, as they call him, somehow, some way, and it all gets sideways for a second. But no, you guys were talking about Brock Purdy, and I'm sort of paraphrasing here. If Brock Purdy wins. Say they win the Super Bowl, and I mentioned this after hearing, and I mentioned this to the crew. Like, does it change the perception of you needing a elite quarterback to win in today's football? I know what we've seen, and you pointed it out. You were like, when was the last non-elite quarterback to win a Super Bowl? And I think the last one was, I think Joe ended up saying it toward the end of it.
Nick Foles.
Nick Foles. So he was the last non-elite quarterback to win it. But they had a hell of a defense and, you know, hell of a play caller, obviously. But does it change the narrative? And the only reason I'm bringing it up, Paul, is because of Will Levis. Because there's still this, is he the guy, is he not the guy? Well, does he need to be elite in order for the Titans to reach the goal that they want to reach?
I think in the AFC, he's going to have to wind up being elite, or things are going to have to line up very perfectly for you to get through Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, and Lamar. And I'm down on Lamar like everybody else. But to get through, you're going to have to beat two of those guys at least, right, to get to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. So I think in the AFC, odds are your guy's going to have to play at an elite level to get you there. But, I mean, Mahomes just scored 17. Now, he made the plays you need to play, but it isn't like he's gotten the offense to 35 in a must-win game there. So he's elite in that he's doing enough and finding a way to find the plays, not elite in that game in a way that he's dominating the game single-handedly or anything. If Purdy wins, I don't think it reshapes like what you need at quarterback. It says that it's possible with an elite coach, with an elite system, with elite people around him and a very good defense and all of that, you could win. My side of that conversation was more, if they don't win with Purdy, mm-hmm. if they get blown out with Purdy, is Shanahan left in a place like he was with Garoppolo, saying, even with a guy operating my system at a very high level, do I need a guy better than that in order to finish it? And I wonder if that becomes a conversation again after he gets there twice with guys who play very well in Garoppolo and Purdy, but maybe can't quite give him enough. And I think Purdy certainly will get another chance, but I think that's the question that'll stick to the 49ers if they don't win.
And the real question will be when Purdy is ready eligible for his next contract, is what is he worth, right? Because what do you pay the non-elite quarterback? Quarterbacks on the second contract are expensive, even if the guy's decent, right? So what would you pay?
Paid elite.
But if he wins,
what the tag says, you get paid whether you're worth the tag or not.
Yeah, that'll be a tough decision for them. So, Paul, I get this email chain from a guy named Jimmy Shapiro. He sends me more emails than my parents do. I don't know the guy. I've never known the guy. But there's all these. So one was interesting. He sent the odds to win next year's Super Bowl, and the Titans are 100-1, which puts them in a group of teams that are the second longest shot. The Panthers are 150-1. There's another group of teams, 6 or 7, you can probably think of some of them, that are 100-1. My question is, if you're the Titans at the top, let's say I put you in charge of that, what would be your messaging with this new regime? It's a new chapter. Would you kind of tag it with rebuild to try to say, be patient with us? And I'm thinking of the Predators when I say this, because they kind of did that. And they kind of said, look, we're resetting. Keep your expectations tempered here. We're not tanking, and we'd like to win, but this may take some time to build. Like, if you really look at the roster, they got a lot of holes that they have to build. So what would be your expectation level for next year?
In terms of marketing to fans?
Yes. How would you message it to the fans?
I don't think you can say it, Willie. I just don't. I don't think anybody in the league really can say it. Maybe you say it through your actions if you do what Arizona did last year in terms of dealing draft picks and stockpiling and waiting on an injured quarterback to come back and all of that. It speaks for itself. But I think I don't think you really say anything marketing-wise. I think you let Callahan do your talking, but I think the NFL is built for optimism, right? They won 6 games, which wasn't miserable, even though it gets you the 7th pick in the draft. 6 wins isn't that far away from 8. 8 isn't that far away from 9. 9 gets you in the conversation for that last wild card spot. And the league is built for hope at this time of year. I mean, everybody's already hopeful listening to Callahan. I'm the most negative guy in town, and I can't help but write hopeful things out of what's happened. And if you say anything that hints at patience or wait, I think everybody in town says, well, Houston just went from 3 wins to the playoffs and looked damn good doing it with a new coach and a new quarterback. And your quarterback's got a head start on that quarterback having played half a season. So how could you tell us to wait when you're arch rival down in your owner's hometown just turned it around in a year? I'm not going to wait. Look at what they did.
Right, but Houston was bad for 3 years. They were bad for 3 years, not 1 year. So that was...
I agree.
That was a while.
Fans don't want to have that back and forth and that patience. You know they're unreasonable.
Okay, so my counter to that is, don't you think you're not putting a young coach and a young GM in a good position if you're not being real with your expectation level when you are 100-1? To win the Super Bowl. I get the whole thing, and you're right. There are bounce backs, surprising bounce backs. It's the beauty of the league. The schedule's a little bit easier. There are regressions like the Jacksonville Jaguars every year. There are teams that just get short-circuited injuries, so a lot of things can happen. But I would be careful if I'm up top of billing this as, oh, now we've got everything fixed, when they've got a lot of fixing to do.
I agree. It's hard to why not us, at the same time where you say, well, we needed a premier corner, we needed a premier wide receiver, and we needed a premier left tackle and two very good offensive linemen.
You can't get all these guys in one offseason. You can't get all this in one offseason.
Yeah, so they're in a difficult position that way. I'd love to talk to a good marketing person who understands the NFL and kind of ask them, how do you kind of sell the hope and the optimism without overselling in a way that people say, well, you told us, you know, you could be Houston, and
that
why not?
You know that works. That's that the media uses that a lot, right? Oh, you did.
Oh, yeah.
They use it against Vrabel this year.
Yeah, it's a. I agree that it's a tough spot, but I don't think that you can sell. You're not going to do well at the ticket office if you're selling rebuild. You know what you have to do? You have to sell people. So you're selling Will Levis. You're selling whoever the number one draft pick is, though it's hard to sell Alt because people don't come to watch a left tackle play. You're selling whoever the top wide receiver you get is. And you've got to sell Callahan.
Paul Kuharski is with us. Last one for me, Paul. Kimberly Martin reported that the Titans have interviewed Tampa Bay Bucks quarterbacks coach Thad Lewis for the open OC position, and Nick Holes interviewed yesterday as well, in addition to Eric Studisville. They've at least requested to interview Eric Studisville, the running backs coach and associate head coach in Miami. What stands out, if anything, about those three candidates for the Titans' open OC position?
Well, Lewis has a Rams connection, right? And Studisville is a running back guy by nature. So those are the two biggest things that stand out to me. So on the Eric front, I'm a little cautious there because in the Callahan triumvirate there, you know, I'd like to see he and an offensive coordinator and a quarterback coach all rooted in the pass game or with some touchstone stuff for Will Levis. And then you're obviously going to have a run game guy who's your running back coach and maybe your run game coordinator. But, you know, without knowing a ton of about these guys, I think everybody would be more excited if that second guy was a Brian Callahan to Brian Callahan, Zach Taylor now. I'm still very curious about Thomas Brown, who I think is getting some interviews and probably winds up a play caller somewhere. But if he doesn't get a play calling job, that's a guy I'd still keep an eye on. So I don't know. And we need some more defensive names to surface along with Denard Wilson as well. I think names will start to creep out now as the Titans ask for permission around the league and as some of these staffs, other staffs, begin to shake out as well.
Great stuff, PK. Appreciate you for joining us. Will you be on with Robbie and Joe tomorrow morning?
I will. I won't be getting up as early, so I'm back in the traffic that we joked about, but at least I'll wake up at a normal hour.
It's not too bad. I'll take sleeping in with a little bit of traffic.
Yeah, me too.
All right, Paul,
Thanks for joining us.
Paul Kuharski, paulkuharski.com. There's one thing that Paul touched on there that you brought up, D-Mace, about what if Brock Purdy and the San Francisco 49ers are able to take down Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, what does that say about the quarterback market? And we'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports, and we love our people over at Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.